Well, I'm not going to say whatever. I'm not going to say whelp. I'm not going to say... Quite frankly, I don't know what I'm going to say. Because after walking out of that game, just like I didn't know what to say walking out of Pitt's win over Delaware, I really have no idea what to say walking out of Pitt's win over Duke. And maybe it's because it's late at night. It's about coming up on 3 o'clock in the morning as I tape this podcast. 2:30, 3 o'clock as I tape this. And I'm driving through Durham or Raleigh or wherever the heck I am, in somewhere in the triangle of North Carolina. I feel like I'm in the Bermuda Triangle. Because just when you think you've seen... I don't want to say when you think you've seen everything, but when you feel like you've seen a strong majority of the ways a football game can proceed, something like that happens. Something like the game we saw Saturday night at Wallace Wade Stadium. Pitt wins. I mean, you know, first things last. Pitt wins the game. And, you know, it was a lot easier to come out of the Delaware game and say they won and that's it. I don't care. I'm not even going to think about that game again. This one's a little bit trickier because they were a lot closer to full strength in this game. And they were playing with Kenny Pickett in this game. They had their quarterback in this game and it still went the way it went. Let's back up for a little bit though. Let's talk about this game and the extremes that were this game. There were 10 turnovers in this game. There were 19 penalties in this game. And there were 8 touchdowns scored in this game. I wrote in the 3-2-1 column on Friday that I thought the under would hit. That was my prediction. The under is going to hit on 46 and a half, something like that. I said the under is going to hit. That was my prediction. What I didn't count on was that the two defenses in this game would create all those turnovers. And some of them the defenses didn't create. They just took advantage of, like when the quarterback would throw the ball directly to a defender. I didn't count on that. I thought this would be a defensive struggle. I thought these two defenses would play well against each other and give each other a challenge. You know, I thought it would be the toughest defenses either of these teams have seen in a while this season, probably since the season opener. You know, for Pitt, the toughest defense they've seen since Virginia. For Duke, the toughest defense they've seen since Alabama. And I think that more or less held true. And I thought that would be reflected in the scoring. But what I didn't count on was all these short fields created by 10 turnovers. And that was when the game started getting weird. Because when it's 26-3, Pitt's in pretty good shape. It should have been a lot more. They should have been up 30-3, 35-3, 38-3, something like that. They should have scored more than they did off the turnovers. That's neither here nor there. When it was 26-3, the game was pretty well in hand until the fumbled punt. The fumbled punt by Paris Ford is where the game started to slip away. That puts the ball on the 7-yard line. Duke scores in one play, no problemo. And then pickets the ball back, and Dontavius Butler-Jenkins fumbles. Duke gets the ball back, and they score again. And all of a sudden, it's not 26-3 anymore. Now it's closing in real fast. I forget. Maybe it wasn't even 26-3 when Paris Ford fumbled. Maybe it was already 26-10. But either way, the fumble changed the course of that game. The fumble changed the momentum of that game. And yeah, I really got to question the decision to put Paris Ford back there on that fumble or on that punt return. I understand that Maurice French, Pat Narduzzi said he was concerned about the ball security. And I understand that. I think you have to find better options. It's, you know, Taysier Mac, Aaron Matthews, whoever you want to put back there that you can trust to catch the ball and not fumble it and not put the ball, you know, in jeopardy. You know, you need to put him back there. If you don't feel like you can trust Maurice French right now, and I understand his decision-making leaves something to be desired, or has left something to be desired lately. And I apologize if you hear the GPS. I don't know where I'm going down here. So as I'm driving around, I need the GPS to tell me how to get back to my hotel. Yeah, Maurice French's decision-making has left something to be desired as of late. But I don't know if putting Paris Ford back there when he hasn't touched the ball in a long time, you know, when he hasn't actually tried to, he hasn't returned a punt in a long time, I don't know if that was the best decision. He ends up muffing it, putting it on the ground, at the 7-yard line. That was a pretty questionable decision. I still felt like Pitt could hold on because I didn't think that Duke could drive the length of the field on Pitt's defense enough times to be able to turn it into a victory. I really didn't. And that was my opinion throughout the game. And even when Duke, closed it, it was 26-18. I said they're not going to be able to, they can't drive the length of the field. As long as Pitt doesn't turn it over, they're not going to be able to drive. And what happens? Well, Pitt turns it over, right? I think that was when Kenny Pickett threw the interception and Duke goes down and scores a touchdown. And they have the 2-point conversion. They seem to have it. And then the inadvertent signal thing, because this is the weirdest game in history. There's an inadvertent signal. So there's a do-over on the play. And this time Pitt gets it right and they stop Duke from scoring the 2-point conversion. Turn right onto Little Briar Creek Lane. Now it ends up that's not my turn. It ends up being something of a moot point on the 2-point conversion, because then Duke goes down and scores again. And here, the go-ahead touchdown, they actually did drive the length of the field. Duke did go, 80 yards or something like that to score that go-ahead touchdown. And, I didn't think they were capable of doing it more than once. And I was right, but they were able to do it once. And that was, it ended up being what could have been the game-winning touchdown if not for the heroics of Kenny Pickett and Pitt's offense in the, in that final drive with 85 seconds left to go. A game like this, and I was just talking to John McGonigal, covers Pitt for the Post-Gazette, and is doing a really nice job for those guys. He's a nice guy. You should definitely follow him and kind of check him out. He does some good work at the PG, and we were talking about it. And it was really one of these games where there are so many layers to this thing that it's hard to even decide what you want to talk about, where you want to start, where you want to go with your conversation about the game. Because I look at this and, there's just a lot going on. Obviously the fact that they almost blew a game when they were up by 23 points. Eerily reminiscent of the UCF game where they go up 21-0 and then hand it back to UCF to fall behind 31-21. This time they go up 26-3 and they hand it back to Duke to fall behind 30-26. This defense is still kind of, really impressing me. And I know they gave up 30 points, but they really gave up one long touchdown drive. Now, you if you want to make the case that they need to get better at forcing field goals when they're in those, I guess they would probably call them sudden change situations, or when they're on the field, the short fields, after a turnover. If you want to say the defense needs to get better at forcing turnovers or forcing field goals in those situations and not giving up touchdowns as much, all right, I would kind of agree with you on that. I think that's a fair point. But overall, it's hard to argue with how this defense is playing right now. They got 6 turnovers in this game. They sacked Quentin Harris 3 times. He's only been sacked once all season. They sack him 3 times. Patrick Jones explodes. And I told you this was going to happen with Patrick Jones. If you listen to my podcast, you read what I write, you listen to the Panthers Insider radio show, whatever it may be, I told you this was going to happen with Patrick Jones. That he only had 1.5 sacks coming into this game on Saturday. But that he was getting into the backfield, he was pressuring the quarterback, and he was right on the verge of really kind of blowing up with sacks and making big plays that way. And it came through today. or tonight, or last night, or whenever you listen to this podcast, it came through when he had two strip sacks of Quentin Harris, a guy who, again, has been sacked once all season. Jones gets to him twice and knocks the ball out both times. And the thing that Pitt did that I really thought was good and it was effective is they hit Harris a lot. They knocked him around a lot. They didn't always sack him. And particularly early in the game, they weren't sacking him, but he was taking shots. And that's a key with a quarterback who's going to get rid of the ball quickly, a quarterback who thinks he can stand back there and he's got protection. When you get to him, you've got to make him feel it, and they did. And now they weren't perfect. You know, I mean, Duke may have only had one long touchdown drive, but it was a moment when Pitt absolutely, positively could not allow that touchdown to happen, because that's a game-winning touchdown. You know, or at least it looked to be at the time. It was certainly the go-ahead touchdown and put Duke up 30-26. But then Kenny Pickett in the offense. And look, I'm with you. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think they could do it. I did not expect when Pitt got the ball with 85 seconds to go on the clock, 85 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, I did not expect the offense to be able to drive 82 yards to get a touchdown. I thought it was done. Just like I thought it was done at 26-3, I thought it was done at 30-26 with 85 seconds to go in the game. Didn't think it was going to happen. And even as they continued to make plays, I didn't think it was going to happen. When it was 3rd and 4, I thought, well, they've got two shots here to get this first down or a touchdown, ideally. But they've got two shots to get this first down. I really don't know if, I mean, they might get the first down. I really don't think they're going to get into the end zone. Of course, Kenny Pickett throws the ball over the blitz and gets it to Vleek Carter, who breaks a tackle and ends up going, you know, going in for the touchdown. I didn't think they could do it, though. I was with you counting them out. I thought the game was over. I thought Pitt had lost it. I thought they had blown a 23-point lead. And, you know, I was, you know what I was doing when it looked like they were going to lose? I was sitting there thinking to myself, what is it going to be like on the message boards for the next 2 weeks with this bye before the Syracuse game? And I'm going to have to sit there and listen to Pitt fans lose their minds for 2 weeks over how this game went. Now, that might still happen. I have a feeling that Pitt fans are not going to be real pleased about Pitt fans, and I know looking at the message boards that they're not entirely enthralled with how that game went. But look, you got to look at it like this, okay? Yes, they built a lead. Yes, they blew that lead. They came back and won that game. They're now 4-2 overall. They're 1-1 in the ACC. If you are down on Pat Narduzzi because of how this game went, I understand. But listen, they can't keep doing this. They can't keep playing like this, because if they do, they're not going to keep winning like this. These games are going to go the other way if you keep playing them down to the wire. And they've had to overcome a fourth quarter deficit in each of the last three games. And if you keep playing these games down to the wire, some of them are not going to go your way. You know what I mean? If they do this at Syracuse in 2 weeks and then Miami after that and you know, two or three more of these games, they're not going to win every single one of them. They're going to have to get a lead, hold the lead, and win a game comfortably here at some point. And because if they keep playing like this, they're going to lose some games, and you'll be far more justified in your hate of Narduzzi. I mean, are there always going to be coaching decisions you disagree with in a game? Of course there are. Like I said, I think the decision to put Paris Ford back on that punt return was not a good call. Maurice French very well could have fumbled that ball. You know, I think that's very much a possibility. Like I said, his decision-making was questionable on the punt returns. But I look at it and, like I said, the team is 4-2 overall right now. And they've got a game at Syracuse in 2 weeks. And, you know, I still look at this team and I feel pretty much the same way about this team now as I did, you know, 24 hours ago when I was flying in. I mean, I don't remember what time I flew into Raleigh, but I mean, 24 hours ago or 12 hours ago, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, I felt a certain way about this Pitt team and I still feel the same way now. I think it has a good defense that actually you might start to say is a great defense because they forced turnovers in this game, which was really the missing element from the defense in the first few weeks. And then they've got an offense that just can't consistently do it or hasn't consistently scored. I mean, quite frankly, extended drives and scored touchdowns. That's, you know, doing it on a consistent basis is what's missing from this offense. And they've been able to, you know, manufacture these game-winning drives in each of the last three games in the fourth quarter, but they haven't been able to do it consistently throughout the game, which is why they've needed to score game-winning drives in each of the last three games in the fourth quarter. I still think there's a lot of potential for this offense. I mean, I think there's potential in Kenny Pickett. I think there are good playmakers in Taysier Mack and Maurice French. Shockey Jacques Louis got the ball a few times on Saturday night at Duke and made some plays with it. Valik Carter is a guy you have to get the ball to. I still don't know if getting him the ball as a, you know, traditional sort of tailback, handing it off to him out of the backfield, I don't know if that's the way to go because I'm just not sure that he's built for that, and I'm not talking about physical stature. It just doesn't seem like that's a role that fits him very well. But you got to get him the ball one way or the other. You got to find ways to get him the ball. Aaron Matthews, huge catch on that final drive. You know, another guy, get him the ball, work him into things, you know, get him involved in the offense. The tight ends I wouldn't throw to again. I mean, I just, you know, Nakia Griffin Stewart, two plays before the interception, before Pickett's final interception, Nakia Griffin Stewart has a ball he should catch and he bobbles it out of bounds. Yeah, that was him. I think Will Gregg had one like that too. Nakia Griffin Stewart caught a touchdown pass as well. I would not make a point of emphasis to get the ball to the tight ends in this offense. Right now, I've got, you know, if I'm Mark Whipple, I've got playmakers I can use who are going to do things with the ball in their hands and probably catch a little more reliably than what the tight ends have been doing. Those are the guys that I'm going to try and get the ball to, those playmakers. Although the drops were, Maurice French had a pretty bad drop himself early in the game, in the first quarter, I think it was. But, you know, I think this offense still is pretty close. You know, I mean, I think they show enough flashes that you think, okay, this is possible. It can work here. This group can kind of get it together. I think they can. They just have to. You know what I mean? They have to string consistent performances together, and they're in the meat of the schedule now. It's the second half of the season. It's the LAACC games. They've got to find a way to do it. I'm talking about looking ahead. I'm talking about these final six games. But this is the Drive Home podcast where we're supposed to be talking about the game we just saw. And I don't know what to say about it. You know, I'm just sort of dumbfounded by the way it ended. I didn't think Duke was going to be able to drive the length of the field. I didn't think Pitt was going to be able to drive the length of the field. I didn't think Pitt would blow a 23-6 lead. I didn't think Pitt would be able to come back when they fell behind 30-26. This game defied a lot of expectations and was, quite frankly, a game of extremes from 10 turnovers to 19 penalties and, you know, and so on and so forth. The penalties are a major problem, and I know the officiating was suspect. And you know, I heard what Pat Bostic said, or I heard what people said that Pat Bostic said. And yeah, some of the calls look bad, but I mean, don't hit the quarterback late. You know, don't get into these scrums after the play. Walk away and let the other guy take a flag. And the Paris Ford call, I don't know. It didn't look to me like he was trying to target. But, I mean, you see this at the, you know, the pro level and the college level. I mean, when the ball carrier lowers his head like that, defender's probably going to get called, even if it's not really his fault. Guys are gaming the system, intentionally or unintentionally. And, I mean, that it just happens. There are, I don't think the officiating was great in that game. I also don't think Pitt is not, to blame for some of the penalties, for a lot of the penalties. I think they've got to do a better job. They've got to clean that up. This is 2 weeks in a row. They've had too many penalties, so many penalties. They've got to do a better job of that. They've got to be more disciplined. That's a major problem. They're giving up too many yards in penalties. But, again, that's one element of this game. I really think if the offense could take care of the football, not commit turnovers, and there were, three offensive turnovers for Pitt tonight plus the fumbled punt. If the offense could take care of the ball and not commit turnovers, the defense is going to look even better than they already do, because they're not going to be faced with those short field situations. They're not going to give up those short field plays. But the defense was really good against the run tonight. They pressured Quentin Harris like they needed to. They gave up some plays. Some things are going to happen. Every now and then you're going to have a bust. Every now and then the other team is going to make a play. But I think they held Duke to 288 yards of offense. They had 105 yards through the first half. Eventually Duke's offense broke through a little bit. This defense is playing at a really, really high level. So is that the takeaway from this game? Not really. The takeaway from this game is not just one thing. It's that Pitt used great defense to build a 23-point lead and then blew that lead and then somehow found a way to come back and win it in the final 85 seconds. That's kind of it. That's kind of it. I don't know. I mean, you tell me, what else is there to say about this? Team has clear and present issues they need to address and clean up over the next 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks, since they play on Friday night in 2 weeks. There are obvious things they need to improve and clean up. They need to clean up the penalties. They need to take care of the football better, and they need to establish a running game. But at the same time, they've got some things that are really working for them that'll make them dangerous to every team in the rest of the, the rest of the way, the rest of the schedule. So they go into the bye week. Pat Narduzzi and his crew will do some recruiting, and they'll try and get everybody healthy and see if they can, how they can finish out this season. I don't know what else to say. It's 3:00 in Raleigh. That's the Drive Home Podcast. I'm back to my hotel. Actually, I'm about to get gas, and I'm not going to talk to you while I'm getting gas. I feel like that'd be rude, and people will think it's weird. So I'm going to get gas in the pickup truck, because I rented a pickup truck. It's a long story. Ask me later. I'll tell you. And I'm going to head back to the hotel, catch a few Z's, and then go catch a plane back to Pittsburgh. Thanks for listening to the Drive Home Podcast. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the game. I mean, if nothing else, it was entertaining. Are you not entertained right now by this Pitt football team? There we go. Hold on. Stop the presses. That's my takeaway from this 33-30 win over Duke and the 17-14 win over Delaware and the 35-34 win over UCF and the loss to Penn State and the win over Ohio and the loss to Virginia. Six games this year. Are you not entertained? Particularly in the last three when they've won, three-game winning streak, by the way. Are you not entertained? Good or bad? You can't really look away, though, can you? It's a lot of things, but it's entertaining. So I hope you were entertained by the game. I hope you enjoyed it. You got to win. Move on to the next one. I hope you enjoy the rest of the weekend. I will talk to you on our Wednesday podcast. We'll have that on PantherLair.com. We'll have our Panthers Insider Show on Saturday on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. If you traveled to Raleigh, I hope you have a safe trip back. And we will see you on the message boards. Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. It's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news in the internet. Football, basketball, recruiting, and of course, message boards to talk about it all. So message boards are active, as everybody's been talking about this Duke game. Panther-Lair.com. I'll see you on the message boards. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody.